You're listening to Sound Poetry. I am your host, David Gilmore. This is Sound Poetry, KTAH 101.9, Radio Tacoma. Today we're going to have a different program from the normal interview with poets. Steve Niebel, the engineer, has recorded a very fine evening at the Pelican Bay Bookstore, where two poets, one we know well and one new one, read that evening. The first was introduced by Abigail Morgan Prout, Walk Deep, lives on Orcas Island, and produced some wonderful books of her walks, observations of nature, and considerations that weave her life and her family into her works. Also, there is the famous lepidopterist Robert Michael Pyle, or to those who know him more familiarly, it's good old Bob Pyle. And he read that night and commented a great deal on his career and poetry, and of course, butterflies.
All places that we've been, there's always been great art, both, of all kinds, poets, musicians, painters.
As far out as you can get into the boroughs of Washington State, we found it in Skamakaway, even, which is where we met Bob.
So you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Tonight. Thank you so much, Christy and Steve. That was absolutely beautiful. So it's my pleasure now to invite you to listen to a new poet for a lot of us here that we haven't heard from. And so I want to tell you a little bit about Abigail Prout. Abigail was reared with the understanding that nature wasn't just a backdrop to our lives, but to the sacred text by which we live. She says, 31 years on Lopez has taught me that the essence of belonging to the land, to a community, and to family. Her professional journey mirrors this integration of life and work, sitting at the confluence of leadership, intuition, and creativity. She was trained as an art therapist and marital and family child therapist, and now is a seasoned professional certified co-active coach. And her vocation has been a testament to the transformative power of creativity. And she has a book, new book out, which you can purchase tonight. It's called Walk Deep. It's a collection of poems written as an offering to the forest path that she has walked every day since the beginning of the COVID pandemic, inspired as much by the poetry of Mary Oliver, Ada Limone, Padraig O'Tuama, and David White, as by the songs of the Salish Sea in the Pacific Northwest. Walk Deep calls attention to the power that a familiar outer landscape has as a companion, a mirror, compass, and divination tool for our inner landscape. Walk Deep is for fellow travelers who wish to harvest the hard-won gold from their own unique journeys. Walk Deep was a winner of the 2021 Homebound Poetry Prize, received a 2022 Nautilus Prize, and a Pushcart Prize nomination. And Abigail says that her mission is steadfast to kindle in others the fire of creative discipline as a conduit for personal growth and leadership. I just have spent the last hour or so with Abigail, and I feel like this is her place, and we are her people. So please welcome her to read for us. Abigail. Thank you. What a warm welcome. Thank you, Georgia. Thank you for that music. I was feeling nervous, and then I was listening to you, and it really calmed me down. Thank you. Power of music. And also, thank you to Pelican Bay Books and the Madrona series. It's such an honor to be tapped to put some words into our imagination on a fall evening. So I'm going to start by telling you how this book came about. How is the sound? Does this sound good?
It's good, yeah.
Okay. In the back, if I get too far away from it, can you just do that? Thanks. I want to tell you a little bit about how this book came to be and then read some poetry from it, because the way that the book came to be is as
important as anything that's written in the book. And I think that's true for most books. So I've always dabbled in writing and in art, but I never considered myself a poet or even a writer for that matter. It was more like just barf it all into my journal and then keep it there. You know what I mean? My leadership work as a coach had me, I train for the Coactive Training Institute, and in one of the sessions right before COVID hit, I was training a group of people, and one of the things that we do is do a demo in front of the room, and I was coached, and I got the challenge to write a poem a day. 4 days later, COVID broke out, and I had a lot to write about. And so what I found myself doing was doing this walk around Lopez Hill. Every day I would do the same walk, hopefully to just try and calm my nervous system. But then I started to recognize the patterns of the walk and where I would go. I would think about certain things every time I went there. There was and this is the way that the book's laid out, there was a sapling grove, and every time I would walk into the sapling grove, I would think about my kids. And every time I would go to this big, huge tree that I call the mother tree, I would think about my mom. And so I turned the book, I started to write these poems, and I wrote a poem a day for a year, and then I applied to the Homebound Poetry Prize and won. And so this is the book that came out of that. Should you buy a copy, I encourage you to read it in the sequence that it was written, because it is the walk, the actual walk, and I take you on that walk in the book. So I am going to be reading The Home of Belonging. And this is this whole book is really a tribute to Lopez Hill and Lopez Island. I am building a home of belonging. From repurposed intention, mossy gray pounded shoreline, tall black sway forests of fir, damp cedar, damp alder. I belong to the roaring walls of solstice fires, the ritual yearly witness of our island children as they cross the threshold, flower crowned and grown. I belong to the Salish Sea, the teacher of patience, as I learn how to wait for boats and wait for boats and wait. I belong to the awe of the tides, oceans of emotion twice changing in a day, a reminder of how much is in constant shift under the surface, in and out and through, the narrow ripping straits pulling the craggy channels. I belong to the slicing barnacles, tight black-lipped mussels, bright sandpaper sea stars, each one a party favor for the soul. I belong to the deep teal kelp alleyways woven with sleek shots of seals, gunning for sockeye, breaking the tensions with loud whelps of air, to gaze with detachment towards our land-loving ways. I belong to the people that came before us, in the crunch of clamshell underfoot, joyful reverence, burning cedar sacred in longhouses, sweet scent of hand-hewed cedar singing to the same spirits that I sang to in the forest this morning, repurposing intention. I belong to the story of the orca whale, Mama Telequa, nosing the sucking currents, pushing her stillborn calf around our shale island for 17 days without eating, consumed by grief, tireless as if to say, see what I have loved and see what I have lost. Do not look away. See this, feel this. And just like her, I belong to what I love. For when we love something with our whole hearts, we belong to it forever. I wrote this for my son when he brought his report card home. And this is called Report Card. My son is getting A's in everything except collaboration. Buried knee-deep in our shame, we are failing in this most important subject of working together. We circle the biggest lie of separation daily in the squirming space between mowing the lawn and praising the wild. Fickle and pickled, we twist in the wind. There is no one-way liberation, just a drunken bumbling that slowly became the American dream over a millennia of Ponzi schemes, and here we are still sleeping. Apparently, the stakes have to be stacked pie sky high to persuade ourselves to trade our plastic trophies of independence for the unsung power of unity, so we just keep piling. Meanwhile, nature patiently waits with 4 billion years of straight A's. 4 billion years of straight A's, growing to die, dying to grow, offering her wisdom of something worth waking up for. So my mom moved to Lopez Island when she was in her 30s, and I call her a hippie, but she refers to herself as a back to the lander. Apparently there's quite a distinction. I wrote this poem for her. It's called Unbroken. And my mom bought a plot in the local cemetery, and this is about a picnic we had there. Unbroken. My mother stands on her undug grave. Green is the grass, yellow are the buds. Right here, she points down. I have no response. She's taking care of me still, under this blue sky, preparing for a future that she won't know. This is how she loves. She passes me the heavy basket, slow motion, red tablecloth from childhood picnics sitting side by side. Atop this earth, unbroken, we share Swiss cheese, her favorite, carrot sticks and dark chocolate, and the view from above. I do not understand how, but I know that I will be right here, I promise her. She has no response. So, in my work as a leadership coach, I do a lot of training for people to understand about their belief systems, and inevitably we come up against people's saboteurs or inner critics. And so I wrote this poem about saboteur, which I call Saboteur Park, and it really is inspired by Shel Silverstein. You'll kind of hear it. Saboteur Park. I just imagined all these saboteurs playing in a playground somewhere. My achiever yells, go. My avoider says no. My drama queen loves to steal the show. My victim is hurt. My bully throws dirt. My martyr rips hundreds of holes in her shirt. My tyrant screams mine. My cynic says, fine. My rebel breaks in and steals your wine. My pleaser nods yes. My controller hates mess. My perpetrator shames you and makes you undress. My whiner just whines. My bad girl does lines. My conniving one gets out of paying her fines. My restless can't be. My greed cannot see. My scared little girl just wants to flee. Oh, me? Where is me? Let me see. I wrote a love poem for my husband. I'm gonna read it. It's called I Bring the Dawn. Bring me dawn in your coarse hands cupping, my face tilted upwards. Bring me dawn in warm darkness when my animal self burrows into your nook, safe. Bring me dawn inside of our joke, slyly shaking head, eye corners sparkling, no one else needs to know. Bring me dawn from behind muscled arms, buckling me in for the briefest pause of breath. Stopping together, this kitchen, our church, to touch the world that exists only between our beating hearts. I wrote this next one when I was really mad at the patriarchy, and it's really fun to read. I visited, my husband's from England, which should give you some context. We were visiting the Cathedral of Hereford, which was one of the oldest cathedrals in England. And this is called Knot of Glass. For your information, we aren't made of glass. Light shining through, translucent, numinous, but no, not fragile, not breakable, not tenuous. Women were never two-dimensional. We have always known how to hold the bread knife, how to hold the baby, how to hold the world the morning after it burns. So in a moment of forgetting, and if you ever let fly that stone dug from the landslide of fear that you hold behind your back, and your rage is true and clear and makes contact, we will not shatter, for we are not there, not made of glass. Not to gaze up at while sleepy in mass, nor colored with stain, beveled nor buttered, nor leaded nor brittle, nor easily shuttered. For your information, we can't be contained, gazing on high from such beautiful pain. Okay. I want to read this poem called Still Point. One of the places that I go on this path is my sit spot, which is off of the path. And so I climb up this little bluff, and I always feel a little bit rebellious because I'm off the path. But I think it's important to go off path sometimes if you're careful. So this is called Still Point. I try to stay on the path, but the bluff, she calls too loudly the way she does, spangled with buttercups and waving her little lilac flags. I follow the twig-legged deer, Dixie cup hooves winding upwards over crosswords of fallen trees under bowers of ocean spray. Cushions of bright moss beckon me down, down. I enter the miniature world, the mossy forest below, tiny mysteries beyond naming. Clacking madrona leaves preen above, arching, smooth backs swaying, branches touching, dancing, I join the earth's breathing. Dark boughs gather, swaying together, murmuring, nattering, muttering. At the human form curled and so small below, and then no wind. The forest talking loudest in the silence melts all but the longing to stay nestled here. But the dog beside me whines, and the stomach growls, and the fat raindrops begin to fall, and the outer world calls me back to the path again. I'm going to read two more poems, and this is actually not in the book. This is a poem I just I wrote last year when the war in the Ukraine broke out, and I had a really clear download that I can't explain from, it felt like, it was like a waking lucid dream, and I was in the shoes of an older Ukrainian woman who was leaving her home, and so I wrote a poem about it. It's called 17 Ways to Say Goodbye in Ukrainian. This blue molded suitcase does not fit much. The silver, of course, too heavy, the china too fine. These lie wrapped in our finest litznik, the bold weave of zigzag, zigzag. wool softly folded in the dark now, tucked in the lowest corner of the root cellar. This suitcase is certainly not big enough for the wooden chest carved by Batko, my father, whose blessings you quietly asked for, and the final resting place of my satin wedding dress, wrapped with care in the see-through paper. The round bread pans won't fit either. Blackened by daily crusts, I leave them nestled neatly on the cutboard, right next to the first and last potatoes, smelling of earth, piled in the wood crate and draped in white. With its tiny complaining wheels, this valise will never hold the nightingale's falling song, harbinger of a spring that will not come. And it cannot possibly contain my view from the sink, all of the shingled patterns of history's making, nor the budding lilac where your ashes lie. It will not fit the books that formed me, so I brush them gently with my fingers, spines shivering with goodbye, my journals too. Private thoughts that shaped a life, and unread letters written to you after. All words of our love will soon be lost under this coming rubble. The portraits are too big, of course, so I leave our Simra, our family, intact, smiling together in the salon, fluttering my bird hands to explain in the hopes that you understand. Worse, this suitcase won't fit our dear neighbor, Nadia, with her strong lemon tea, her stocking roadmap legs, Nadia with her roomy cornflower gaze, my oldest and bravest friend, Nadia, who cannot travel, nor my dog. I cannot speak of that. I drag this bumping lump of plastic across the threshold behind me, the same place I was carried over into the promise of June so long ago, when our future stretched clean and fresh, held aloft by your strong arms laughing. Too small, of course, this hard suitcase cannot carry our only son who looks like you, with his nod and tight smile, shoulders squared and shaking as he quickly turns away. Shoulders squared and shaking as he turns his back to stay. My last poem is a short one. It's called Contrary. Contrary to what your mind says, you are not alone, not an island whose ice precious is melting. Contrary to what your mind says, your hands are not empty, but held solidly on either side by those who came before and those who will follow after. Contrary to what your mind says, you belong right where you stand, part of this unbroken line, a colorful key sentence buried in the long story. Contrary to what your mind says, your single thread of this great fabric is not unraveling, but dancing free in the salty wind. Contrary to what your mind says, you are not falling apart, but falling back together. Contrary to what your mind says, nothing is more important than when you step out of your car carrying too many gravid grocery bags than to sit on the frozen gravel driveway, lean your head back and look up and out. Oh, the dazzling, splendorous night before going in.